So there's no way to sneak that in. It is Thursday, February 15, 2018. I'm amazed every time I say the date. This is the New Moon Session, and I am Debbie Moran, for those of you who don't know me. So, Ange, did you want to say something? Since we were talking, you want to say something to begin?
Yeah, so just with my grandmother's death and with everything that's going on, I have a lot of endings and new starts coming up. So I my intention is to give in to the process because I've been fighting it and very resistant to it, trying to control it, especially my emotional responses. And I just want to release all of that.
Okay. Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
So you want to give in to the process.
Yeah.
What's the process for you?
Well, lately it's been a lot of crying.
All the
choices and all the what's happening that's outside of my control. It's like just going with and being with and not trying to figure out how I can manipulate it in a way that makes me feel safe. Just trust that I am.
Okay, good. Okay. Trust that you're safe.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else with that?
I think adding to that, just recognizing how supported and loved that I am.
Nice. Okay. Do you by any chance want to say your grandmom's name and add her to this session?
Sure.
Don't feel obligated. Okay.
No, it's good to have her here.
Good.
My grandma's name is Brenda Janino. And
welcome,
she's
Brenda.
Quite a firecracker. So
yes,
you know.
She is. She was already here. I just wanted you to formally invite her. Nice. I say that because, you know, so much of, and I'm not an astrologer, you guys know that, but I've been reading the astrologers after the fact, but so much of what they're saying about this specific new moon is really kind of pivotal because it's kind of like the end game. Like end game meaning it's kind of calling into focus all of the things that we've been working on for all of this time. And specifically, it has very much to do with, I feel like I have an echo here. It has very much to do with, you know, all of the things that we've been saying are true coming to fruition. So it's kind of like, I feel like right now is a choice point for everyone on the call. It's a choice point. Everyone on the call or who's participating in the call. When I say it's a choice point, we make choices all the time. And I go to the definition of sin, and sin, one of the definitions is missing the mark, and really that's really what it is. So we always have a choice to do it over, to do it different. And this new moon feels very much like being called out to, are you ready? Are you ready? And this brings me to, I hear like Abraham's words when he says, getting ready to be ready to be ready. And those words don't fit with me anymore because I feel, and I think I shared this with you guys last time, my prayer is now, I am ready, I am willing, make me able. So it's kind of like I'm answering the call of being called out to my spirit and to my soul. And it's not about trying to control. It's about saying, I am ready. And I am willing. And now make me able, which means there's much I don't understand from my limited perspective. So my practice has been of late, since I've had this time, had the house to myself and had some time to myself, and I go for a daily walk, and my practice has been, how can I be in the world in a way where I appreciate the world around me? For me, that's easy to appreciate. The birds, the sun, the trees, nature. And yet, I don't appreciate loud, noisy trucks. I don't appreciate blowers. So I don't appreciate chemtrails in my sky every time I look up to the sky. So I have been in a state of constant practice about calling myself back. And when I say calling myself back, it's not about holding myself back. It's about calling myself back from this place of judgment that I somehow think I know better than our divine creation, and that somehow these chemtrails or these noisy people and trucks, these people that I think are violators, somehow they're separate from the divine plan is ludicrous. And so my practice has been recently, bring me back to this place of appreciation and trust. So my keynote words for today are trust and appreciation. How can I come to a place of appreciation even if it's not something I normally appreciate? Even if it, my first initial response is judgment against it. That's the calling myself out. That's the calling myself back. So it's like calling back the judgment and saying, I don't know the bigger picture, and I trust that there is a greater beingness, God, source, universe, whatever you want to call it, there is a greater beingness that does have all of the picture. And so it's not my job to judge all of these things I see against me. It's my job to recognize it's not my job and to do my job of being the best version of me that I can be. And so this is my intention for this session today. And the words that come out, and Norman's intentions were faith and trust. So similar. I just realized I needed to adjust my faith into appreciation. So, a lot of the astrologers are saying what we've been talking about for months, even years actually, in these sessions, that the old world is gone. The old world is dead. This is the, from what I see, the revelatory perspective of the Bible, that the Bible speaks of. The old world is dead. And yet, we keep bringing it back to life by the fact that we won't let go of it. So, today, if everybody's willing, and I'm not going to actually force this on anybody that's willing, I offer you the ability to claim back the fragmented pieces of your soul that you've left in all of these spaces and places in your history and in time and space and in our collective consciousness that is feeling splintered and judged and lost and separated and trying to control because it feels like it has somehow been misplaced. And part of that is because these fragmented pieces of your soul have been misplaced. That's actually a brilliant awareness. I'm like, let's. So if you're ready and willing, I'm able to help call those soul pieces back to you. So I'm going to do that now, and you just receive it if it feels right. If you don't, that's okay too. But right now, I am calling back the fragmented pieces of scattered souls that have somehow been trapped or left behind or exchanged and returning that which does not belong or does not serve each person back to where it came from at its original source, and calling back the pieces of soul that were exchanged in that place. It's very much time for us to feel whole, feel to remember, actually, to remember who we are at our cores. Doesn't mean throw away the stories, so we don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. We remember the stories, but we remember them in a way where we integrate the wisdom of those stories and we quit repeating the pain of those stories. And it's not saying that pain doesn't serve a purpose here. It does. It reminds us we're alive when we've forgotten. And it gives us the full spectrum and ability to actually remember that we're alive. But we've forgotten in the pain, a lot of times we've so identified with the pain, we've forgotten that we're alive. The pain is showing up to remind us, hey, feel me? Feel me? So instead of trying to stifle the pain, let's invite the pain in a way that it is acknowledged, so it no longer has to keep getting louder and louder and louder and louder and spread and spread and spread and spread. So today is an opportunity for each of us to take accountability and responsibility for our well-being and our world, which means our individuality, our individuation in body talk terms, and in a way where the ripples of that claiming, the ripples of that experiencing vibrate like sonic waves or waters in a pond and reach out to others to show them, ah, look, it is possible. It is possible to be well. It is possible to be happy. It is even possible to be happy when you have a sad moment. It's not about denying the sadness. It's about embracing it, and it's about allowing the full spectrum, the full range of motion that we have in our physicality, in our emotional abilities, our emotional bodies, in our thought process, our thinking process, our mental processes, and in our spirit. It's about embracing and integrating those aspects of our being that seem separate and have different needs and often feel in conflict, but who really aren't in conflict. Ah, nice. So, So one of the things that I read said something about beginner's mind, which is interesting. Beginner's mind means admitting, and not only admitting, but accepting that it's okay not to know everything, that we are safe, and that there is a cosmic force that is not out to get us. And it doesn't mean that stuff doesn't play in our collective consciousness. What it means is when we feel that integrated being, when we feel those aspects of our being so holy, we're a beacon of light. So we're a beacon to share our fullness of life rather than to invite challenges that are not, that ultimately work for our benefit for life, but maybe we don't have to make it so hard on ourselves anymore. Maybe that's the shift in consciousness. We don't have to make it so hard on ourselves anymore. We don't have to be judge, jury, and executioner to ourselves or anyone else. We simply get to be who we are. And even if we don't know who that is, we get to explore who that is in reflections on the past, but not clinging to the past. So what I see now is like a circle. And this circle is like the outer wall of a cell or the outer wall of the outline of each individual's energy field. And I love it actually because I'm seeing these circles and then I'm seeing these circles connect like rings. So it's really, I'm seeing the flower of life forming in front of us. A geometric flower of life. And today, we get to birth new life, truly. We have that opportunity all the time, but today we get that opportunity magnified. We get to birth a new life, which means we get to play with, I don't know what that is, but I know it's great. I don't know what that is, but I'm not afraid to reach out and touch it. So, anybody else? I feel like somebody else has something to say. Hi, Andy.
Hi, Debbie.
I didn't know if it was you or not, but I knew I saw you there.
What's that?
I said I didn't know if it was you or not, but I knew I saw you there. So I didn't know if it was you that had something to say.
Things have been so confusing lately, I don't even know what to say.
Okay, that's not a bad place to be in.
So I suppose that's the new opportunity?
Yes, yes.
Creating enough chaos that something has to come out of it, but you don't know what that something's going to look like?
Yes. And here's where we turn the old tide up on its tail and kind of drain that old pattern because we're setting in new parameters, new filters, cleansing the old filters, and putting in new filters to say, again, I don't know what that is, but it's going to be great.
A veil is lifting, but I don't know what it's going to look like once it's all the way lifted.
Exactly. And how exciting is that? I know part of you has this image of, oh, it's going to be this big, ugly, scary monster. But what if it's not?
If it is or isn't, doesn't matter because it's lifting either way.
Yay! There we go. That's beautiful.
So you can either fear it or embrace it or just...
Exactly.
Wait to see what it's going to look like.
Exactly. Good. And I just kind of like saw the eclipse of the sun and the moon right now. It's kind of like, oh, that's the turning things on their head in a way. So it's like, you know, actually when our eyes see something, we see them upside down and our brain turns them right side up. So really what I'm seeing is that's being altered in a way that we'll see more clearly.
Well, I'm on an inversion table right now, so my world is kind of upside down.
Seriously? I love it.
Yeah.
That's great.
I would like to add, we had last night I woke up to crashing sounds, and this morning a huge, very, very old fig tree had dropped massive branches, and there was no wind last night. It was absolutely still and humid, and it's astonishing. It feels as if that tree dropped like something it had never dropped, and there was no wind or anything assisting it. So I'm feeling like things that have been so heavy in us, like old grief and patterns, that they are actually now just being able to just drop off us in the middle of the night without even anybody noticing, without a wind coming to help. But they actually just drop because we don't need them anymore.
Yes. Beautiful, Tanya. Beautiful. And that's true. That's the energy of this moon. It's like, so the tree just dropped the heaviness. Nice.
And I was just dropped out of this call, and I couldn't get in before, so it was like all this dropping out. And
that's funny.
So
you may have been the person I said.
Each other. Yeah.
We don't what?
We don't need each other, but we do. I'm really feeling I don't need anybody. But I'm actually really for the first time feeling that I really want to be creating and being with others.
Nice.
That's a new feeling too that comes in. And when
Beautiful.
We drop this heaviness, we have all this space to actually be with what we really want and that is really meant for us.
Exactly. That's so true. And the dynamic of actually that's really good what you said about you finding that you do want other people, but you know what we do as a species, we do really need other people, we do need each other, we don't acknowledge that, so we go into codependency and neediness, which is a lot different than acknowledging that we are an interdependent species. We're also an interdependent species with the planet. These are things that we have not been conscious of, or we've been conscious of it from the perspective of feeling disconnected from it. So this is our time to connect internally as well as with one another, as well as with the planet. Beautiful. So that's taken me to the heart. And it feels like the heart feels very tender right now, actually. Not weak, tender. So it feels a little raw. And that actually is expressing the removal of the veil. Somebody mentioned the veil being very thin, but it's like removing that veil, removing that crustiness, that protection, that coming to this from this place of pure-hearted vulnerability is tender-hearted and strong at the same time, present. So it's calling the heart. The heart is actually being acknowledged. The heart is being called out. And we need to honor that. Just breathe into that. And then it feels like actually I'm feeling up of the back heart. In the back heart, this is where like the tree represented the heaviness. It's like I feel like we need to kind of slough off the back heart. And the back heart up through the middle of the shoulder blades and into the cervical spine. and up into the head. So it's like sloughing off the crusty belief systems, the entangled not stories, the entanglements that keep us from fully breathing in and breathing out, actually keep us from fully receiving and letting go. So it's clearing that pathway all the way from the back heart, up the spine, up the cervical region, all the way through the brain and into the frontal lobes of the head in the brain. And then opening up the senses and kind of peeling away layers of that congestion. So what I see is like a not an increase, a refinement, a refining of the senses, refinement of the sense of taste, and a refinement of the sense of smell, and a refinement of the sense of vision and hearing and touch. So it's like, interesting, I've never used this word before, but like peeling off the congestion of the senses is like a refinement, like really refining the senses. So it's like this, the lusciousness of life. You get to taste, everything starts tasting clearer, cleaner, sweeter, or its appropriate taste. Same thing with the smell and the hearing and the sound and the touch. It's really quite lovely, actually. That is then all settling down. It's kind of like clearing. The heart is raw and vulnerable and open and clearing up the back heart and connecting them with the brain in a clearer way with the senses. And then it's kind of looping down the throat and into the front of the throat and down through the heart and through the midsection, down through the diaphragm and into the belly, into the gut brain. And as I do that, actually there's kind of a, like a really kind of nasty taste comes to mind, actually. There's a nasty taste. There's a sourness, a bitterness, and that needs to be cleansed. It's kind of like there is a sense of, and here's an interesting aspect, because it's kind of like, you know how we're bug cells as well as human cells. Part of the trauma that I feel is out there being reflected is part of that. That we, as humans, we're afraid of bugs. Little tiny bugs. We're afraid of them. And yet we're 90% bugs. And so there is a dynamic of, on some level, prehistorically and at the cellular biological level, the old outdated blueprint, there is a fear of evolution and a fear of extinction. This is interesting, never saw this before. Fear of extinction of humanity to the degree that they want to wipe out the bugs. And we've been doing that in our environment, and it's mirroring, it's because of what's going on. It's the same thing going on between our human cells and our bug cells and our bodies. So that bad taste is like that, almost like the remnants of the war. Ugh. So we need to cleanse that, like cleanse the emotional body at the diaphragm, open up that diaphragm so that the diaphragm can actually expand and contract fully, so that the organs there can fully breathe and do their job and see one another and recognize that they're part of this community, and yet also recognize that so are microbiomes. And just because they look different and they're not recognizable doesn't mean that they don't belong. In fact, if they don't belong, then the body dies. So this is really coming quite clear in the body right now. So it's like opening up those pathways to kind of resolve that biological warfare that's going on inside of our own bodies.
The inner reflecting the outer.
Yep, exactly.
How much of the news is so-and-so doesn't belong here, you know, go home,
yep.
All these things.
Exactly. And I was just talking to Marita today, and we were talking again about the Aborigines and how in the beginning stage, actually Aboriginals by the whites were classified as fauna. They were not recognized as humans. So it's that. It's like, so it's that going on in our bodies at the actual biological cellular level. I'm stopping to take a drink.
All the anger and fear.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I mean,
here's
an
interesting imagery. No, I didn't, so.
Well, I mean, the day of love, you know,
oh, yeah.
Dominated by fear and anger.
Mm-hmm. And the interesting thing that I just saw, even in the body, is the very fear of the numbers of microbiomes versus number, in other words, the number of bug cells versus human cells. So there's actually that fear of quantity, you know, like overtaking, being overrun. So this is being balanced. This is being changed. This is actually structurally, biologically, genetic blueprint being changed in our bodies right now. It has been going on, but this is the first time it showed up this clearly. It's changing now. So everybody has a place. Everybody has a function. Everybody has the same amount of value. It may not appear that way, but we are all needed. Same thing with our cells. Every cell is needed in our body. And every cell dies off in its own lifespan. Problem is, it's been killed off instead of dying off in its own lifespan. Okay. Whew. That made me get up and walk around and pace. So there's an interesting image coming to mind now of a crown, like a royal crown. And it feels to me like this is an energy of kind of shifting that blueprint into a more, it's not the hierarchy. Because my mind wants to resist that and say, no, that's the problem. There's the hierarchy, and it's not the hierarchy. It's the tapping into the regalness of our being, the royalty of our being. Oh, and that's what it is. It's about claiming authority for our own being, which we did with the soul, but this is kind of doing it in another way. It's like no government, no royalty. No royalty is more royal than anyone. There may be societal clout and standards that have been set up, but those are false. What is true is that everyone matters. And that is only true when everyone recognizes that everyone matters. So it starts here. then I feel like I'm doing some movement, like, again, on the back. It's a bit like I see Pinocchio, like puppet strings. It's like peeling the strings off the back out of the past, pulling the strings off of the body out of the past so that your past is no longer your puppeteer. Oh, that's an interesting perspective. Our, you know, the past, as long as we hold on to it, is our puppeteer. So it's about letting that go. And sometimes that means revisiting it, because I'm actually kind of walking backwards a little bit as well as moving to get that out of there. And it's really just kind of going back in that timeline of when this thing kind of hooked into me to kind of remove it. So it's like setting up this dynamic of going through each person's timeline and allowing the disentanglement and the dissolution of those cords. The falling away. You can say it quite simply as return to sender, but it's really taking the body into that movement to, so that viscerally the body can actually feel that. Because that's kind of been part of the dynamic. It's like we're working on all these energetic perspectives and working on all of these even mental thought concepts, belief systems, but if our body is feeling all knotted up, then it's not able to receive the shift. So it's bringing to that space, bringing space into the body, into the mind, into the heart, into the belly. And into the senses. And simultaneously with that, actually, we're going to tap into sexuality, sensuality. There is a sense of confusion around that. In terms of, there's almost like that, the term guilty pleasure came to mind. So it's like showing there's such a conflict over, conflict in the senses. And even though we set up this program to refine the senses, we need to actually carry that throughout the cellular metabolism, the cellular structure of the body, the atomic structure of the body, all the way down through the fascia on all levels, to rearrange the molecules to allow free-flowing sensuality and sexuality without the perversion, the perverted definitions that we have ascribed to them. So it's tapping into those divine masculine and feminine qualities that we as women are women with masculine and feminine qualities, and you as men are men with masculine and feminine qualities, but not in the commercialized sort of viewpoint and vision. So taking away the commercialism out of our definition of feminine and masculine. Bringing clarity and purity, not from the puritanical perspective, but from the clear perspective of divinity in terms of what it means to act in a masculine action or to be in a feminine way. though it's bringing a new relatedness to the masculine and feminine in each of us in a way that's more harmonious, more real.
I like to bring in too, I'm just feeling I have just let the guinea pigs run free in the house and taken them off the table, and feeling this part in us that wants to explore our surroundings and ourselves in completely new ways. Feeling, tapping also into the sensuality and sexuality and our creative expression in the world. And in every minute, what we want to do, to let our inner guinea pig out, to explore all new ways, in all ways. I'm feeling that.
I love that.
Deeply, I feel that opening deeply in the core of the, at the base of the spine, like underneath the coccyx. And like what you said before, untangling the spine and untangling all these stuffed suppression that we experienced also as children, on feeling our inner children there living with parents who didn't let us be free.
Right.
And feeling this as if we are in a space where we are really totally allowed to be ourselves, which hardly any of us has grown up in, because our parents wanted us to be something and they were unhappy with themselves. So not many of us had this place of total acceptance and just being enjoyed for who we are. And just before the session, I actually lay in my son's room a bit and in my daughter's room a bit and just felt them and felt how it is for them to be here and be so free to be allowed who they are more and more as I'm allowing them that and myself.
Nice.
And that spreading out to everybody from us what we change in ourselves and feeling our inner children there to give them now that permission to be who they really want to be and are. So they can relax.
Yes.
Stop performing.
Yes.
And dance and play and sing and move the bodies that are so have to sit in school all day and can't be barefoot and have to do this and that, to let them be free now. And it's like we are the guardians of our inner children, and to connect this, to connect us with our inner children.
Nice.
And I'm just feeling this line from the higher self to the spirit, to our physical body, to our soul, our family.
I love that the guinea pigs were that inspiration for that. So it's almost like we get to be guinea pigs for our own lives.
And they are so present. I want to draw their energy into this session too, because they are so in the moment and they are so loving. Where they are, they just are there fully present. And then they have this spark. They can lie on your body and cuddle and be totally there. And suddenly they smell something, they look up, and they want to go and explore. And if we tap back into our, that's where the spark lies and our creativity. We might lie there in relaxation, and suddenly, if we are not distracted and occupied with phones and computers, we would actually hear and feel, oh, something, there's a wind coming up, I actually want to dance, or I want to write something, and to follow these sparks that call us all the time if we are not distracted, if we are present.
Yes.
So it's like ears open and the feelers open in all the cells, as if all the antennas are opening up, all the receptors. And I really notice that how it's not there when I'm very focused on my phone or reading something on the computer especially. there's a deadening happening, and then to be really aware of that, and I see how that is so easily lost. Just waking that all up for us. And there's just a butterfly outside here. We have morning still, almost lunchtime. That is, I'm just seeing a butterfly flying around, tasting all the different plants.
Very lovely.
In the session, the wind has come up as well. There was no wind all morning. Bringing that movement in that you also talked before about into our bodies and really integrating everything instead of just being up in the head, but also we are also in our body and embodying all this knowledge and understanding we get, have, and receive.
I really feel like that is the theme of this session tonight, embodying grace, embodying your being, embodying I am. So, truly, I really am just feeling this deep sense of release in my chest and in my body, moving around. Actually, it's interesting, now that I'm moving around, it's the way I'm moving, it feels a bit like an anxious child. So it feels like there's something in us that has just felt restless for so long. And it feels like also it's having to do with the nervous system. We're working on the three brains. Now we want to integrate that simultaneously with the entire nervous system. And specifically working with the sympathetic and parasympathetic nervous system, I see them a bit like a seesaw. Way off balance, way erratic. And needing to bring a nice rhythm to their communication, to the neurons, a nice rhythm to the communication. And what that means by it, what exactly what you just said, relaxation. We, as a society, have anxiety, fear, jitterness. Everybody's in PTSD, so it's really about peeling away the, I'm going to call it a curse. It's a diagnosis of PTSD, but it really is floating around almost like an agitation in our collective consciousness. It looks like a histamine, actually, and it's going around, like it looks like this agitation, and it's going around it, and just it spreads and just kind of taps into a lot of different people at one time and creates this experience that is just causing extreme overreactivity. So it's really creating kind of this dynamic of, I call it like a rabid dog syndrome. It's like the reptilian brain, when it gets into that mode, it's like by tapping into that, it just spreads, it inflames. It's an inflammatory situation. An inflammatory situation in our nervous system and in our neurons. And interferons are coming up. So there is a relational conflict that needs to be addressed internally in our neurological biology besides the three brains, and it has to do at the at those levels. Sympathetic, parasympathetic, the spinal cord, the central nervous system. Central nervous system, actually, if I look at it now, it actually, it's interesting, I saw a black snake today. It looks like that. It looks like a black snake, and not that there's anything wrong with black snakes, because there isn't. It's really, really very much about rebirthing. I was grateful to see it. And yet, what I'm seeing in the spinal column is almost like tar, sludge, an inability for clear communication that's creating friction, almost like flint trying to start a fire. And so we're needing to work with the spinal cord and the cerebral spinal fluid and all of the fluids of the body to bring some viscosity and some movement and some clarity to the fluids of the body, especially cerebral spinal fluid, interstitial fluid, lymphatics, actually all the fluids of the body needing to bring that to it, but it started with the spinal cord. It feels better. I feel like I want to take a moment and just relax and breathe that in and just tap it in for yourself. And remember to tap. You can do one of two things. You can tap, well, you can do one of any things. Tap where it feels right for yourself. And I'm tapping all my, over my head and face and sort of tapping the outline of my body, actually. Starting with the center, the central channel. And it's to kind of, it's like a gentle, I know that you're a little sluggish here, so, and I know these are the outlines of my structure, my body right now. So I'm honoring that, and I'm saying, okay, let's get things moving now. I know you're all here. Let's get everybody on the same page. We're on the same train, whatever you want to call it. Let's get everybody in the same body, each individual body. I need to clarify that. And I feel complete with that. Anybody else have something they want to add?
Just give it some time.
Exactly.
And to really feel our deep peace and happiness and contentment that is so deeply inherent to us.
It really is our birthright.
Be patient with the changes, so that you allow them to fully unfold. Because if you think you're done, you might stop further changes from happening.
Mm-hmm. Yes, allow the cycles and rhythms. Don't try to monitor them. Just appreciate them when they show up. And they will. That's not me saying that. They will. Okay, I'm going to stop the recording. Thank you, everyone.